Spring is my favorite time to start a new workout routine. With the weather warming up, it feels easier to get into the rhythm of things. Whether you have 20 minutes or an hour for a Pilates class or outdoor guided walk, Peloton has everything you need to help you get going. Get a head start on summer with Peloton at onepeloton.com.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Welcome to Democracy-ish. I'm Danielle Moody.
And I'm Wajahat Lee.
And Waj, you know, I would love to say once again that the predictions that we make are always 100% correct. And what am I speaking of on this good occasion? It would be our prediction about the State of the Union and how we said that Joe Biden was, you know, going to show up and show out to the best of his ability, that Republicans were going to look like fools. And aside from the rebuttal from the kitchen, which I didn't see coming, we were dead spot on. So I just want to give us an opportunity to, you know, pat ourselves on the back.
I mean, these are the small consolation prizes that we have. So we'll take anything we can. Please, our loyal audience, indulge us this one moment. Danielle and I, usually for being accurate and two steps ahead, are punished in our career. So this is what we have to do to feel kind of good. And also, I'm fasting, so I can't even drink some chai right now. I just have to sit there and wait until 7:16 p.m. So these are the small victories in life.
I want to wish you a happy Ramadan. I know that it is Eid Mubarak. Eid Mubarak.
Ramadan Mubarak. Eid is at the end.
Ramadan. Eid is at the end. Ramadan Mubarak.
You know, I feel like, thank you so much for, and all those who are fasting, I feel with you, and may your fast be easy and light, especially for those who are fasting while they're being bombed and being starved. But, you know, we have a lot to talk about because oftentimes, Danielle, it's one of the situations where, you know, actually very rarely in our podcast do we, I don't think we've ever had a moment where we sat there and go, what are we going to talk about? And we usually sit there and go, like, there's so much to talk about. So much stuff happens. You know, you have Katie Britt's voice stuck in my head because you mentioned the rebuttal and I'm trying to get it out. And the more I'm trying to get it out, the more I'm thinking of a really strange, weird, kind of hyper-sexualized, you know, Christian woman barely showing, like, just having the cross right above the breasts, you know, and then kind of that weird, like, method whisper. Acting, breathing, whisper.
Yes.
And like, who, Biden. Like, who thought that would be a good idea? That's my first, I have to bring it up. I know it's a little bit dated, but we haven't talked about Katie Britt. Like, who thought that would be a good idea, Daniel?
I have no friggin' clue. But what I can say about Katie Britt is that it was intended, right? Not for us, but intended for white suburban women to beckon them onto the dark side. And it was the way that we have seen throughout the centuries, white femininity be used as a weapon of white supremacy. You have the brash, toxic masculinity of the Trumps, right? And you match that with the soft, scared whisper, right, of the pretty white woman next door who, you know, whose most important job, Waj, is my children. You know, like, and you do that, and it is insidious. It is dishonest because, one, we know now, and everyone should know by now, that she lied about the horrific sex trafficking story that she told. It was so audacious in its lie that the victim herself had to come out and say how disheartened she was that her story was used in this way, that she has been sharing right throughout the years. But yes, I think that, you know, I don't want us to get lost on the jokes about Kitchen Katie. I think that it is important for us to understand that white femininity, right, and its softness is a part of white supremacy and one of its most, one of its sharpest tools, I'll say.
And a name that was given to this by those who study authoritarianism is a lipstick fascism. Oftentimes referring to this trend of right-wing authoritarian movements using these nice, happy moms with who wear pastel colors. Just look at Meloni of Italy, right? And you mentioned Katie Britt, and I'm glad, you know, we could sit there and make the jokes about it. And there are plenty of jokes, folks. But I also want to remind folks about how dangerous this is, because following up on Katie Britt's very strange but very calculated appeal to white women in the suburbs to vote for Donald Trump, a man who was held liable for committing rape against E. Jean Carroll, and also then was held liable for defamation. We had Nancy Mace, a Republican, who was on, I believe, ABC News, and George Stephanopoulos did something which very few people often do with Republicans. He grilled her. He says, you are a rape victim, and how do you sit there and reconcile that by with supporting Donald Trump, a man who has held been liable for sexual assault and rape against E. Jean Carroll? And you would think, of all people, Nancy Mace would sit there and go, you know, on this issue, yeah, Donald Trump was bad. Instead, what did she do, Danielle? What did Nancy Mace do?
You know, what was so disgusting? One, she came for Stephanopoulos. She tried to, in saying that, how dare you ask me, you know, you're trying to shame me.
You're victim shaming.
You're victim shaming me, was her response. And I'm like, let me run this tape back again, because I don't see where he shamed her. What he did was ask, how do you, as a victim of sexual assault, then go after, right, and deny the truth of knowing? Because a part of Nancy Grace's story is that she didn't come out about her attack for many, many years.
Right.
So there is parallel that is there, right, between her and E. Jean Carroll. And, you know, she couldn't backpedal herself out of it fast enough. And she ended up looking exactly how the Republican Party looks, which is like a bunch of hypocrites, right? Because here you are, a victim yourself, using your platform to shame another victim and stand with a rapist. And a rapist that was found guilty by a jury of his peers, right? And has now posted bond for $91 million for said rape and said lie about said rape.
Yeah, and we still haven't talked about the money that he has to forfeit for committing fraud in New York, and the fact that he can't do business for said fraud, and the fact that he is using this base of mostly, not exclusively, aggrieved white Christians to basically pay all these fines, right? Like, he's like, hey, give me your money. Where's this money going to, Danielle? And thanks to Nancy Mace, Elise Stefanik, and all these other Republican women who are allegedly Christian and conservative, they are now fronting for a man who has been held liable for sexual assault by a jury of his peers, a man who came on the scene, political scene, and even after he said, you know, the Access Hollywood tape was leaked, I'm gonna grab women by their pee, they 8 years later, still on live television, are incapable of even criticizing this aspect of Donald Trump, right? And this leads us to what is, surprise, surprise, the rematch between Biden and Trump. They have secured the delegates. Shocking, folks, it's going to be Biden v. Trump all over again. And you would think, after all of this, that maybe, just maybe, enough of these Americans would say, you know, the guy who lied to us during COVID, a pandemic that killed over 1 million people, and told us to inject bleach and sunlight, and now has 91 criminal counts, and brags about, you know, sexually assaulting women, and is now held liable for it. You would think this would be a landslide win for Joe Biden. But thanks to folks like Robert Herr and Both Sides Media, Danielle, it's a close race.
Yeah, it's a close race. And, it is one that is troubling. I will say before we get into Robert Herr and the others that, you know, largely and you know, the results have been in on this is that Joe Biden is up for the job, right? Joe Biden, I think, is somebody who has exceeded very low expectations that were put out for the lowest expectations ever for a State of the Union. And in all honesty, came out swinging and took on the Republican Party and edged them on and egged them on and had us see the split screen between them, the Democrats, clapping for clean water and Republicans sitting on their hands because
teachers getting a raise.
Yeah, because their speaker said, don't act out. So they said, OK, so we won't do anything. So there's nothing that we can applaud for because the eyes of Donald Trump are on them.
Mm.
So it was just like, I just want to remind folks that, yes, while mainstream media will continue to do this horse race politics as we edge closer and closer to November, the reality is that the favorability that came out of the State of the Union was in Biden's favor. And that I think, let me dare to be hopeful for a moment because
I have felt
this way since last week, which is that I believe that the more rope you give Donald Trump to air out all of his thoughts and all of his fantasies of being a dictator, I think that he is going to hang himself with it.
I agree. I honestly, there is
a new pack, a Republican pack that has $50 million behind it. That is another never Trump pack. And one of the things that they are doing is posting videos of former Trump voters saying they ain't voting for him this time.
That's right.
That they may not vote for Biden, but they are not coming out to vote for Donald Trump. That they have lost all faith in him. And I think that that is successful because there is going to be a big difference. And a friend of the show and friend of mine, Dr. Christina Greer, up on thegrio.com, this week wrote a piece about why it's important for us to understand the distinction between people who are saying, I'm a Biden voter, but I'm not a Biden supporter.
Yeah.
Right? Which is this idea that people ain't getting fucking lawn signs and t-shirts and doing the swag and doing the most for Joe Biden in the way that we have seen in the past for other presidential candidates. To that point, people are, yeah, we're in an existential crisis and they're going to vote for him. And so I think that it's really important if you couple that with the former Trump voters that are just like, this has been one or maybe 91 steps too far.
a little too much
for them.
You know, and you know, it's similarly in 2020, just reminding folks that most of us weren't passionate about Biden. It was who will beat Trump. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, when it came down to the South, Black voters said, hey, it's not going to be Pete Buttigieg. It's not going to be Elizabeth Warren. If you remember, Clyburn rallied Black voters in South Carolina. It says it's going to be Biden. And then the momentum started. People of color came out. And in Virginia, where I'm at, right, it was undecided. And then once we saw that swing, we're like, all right, Biden. You fast forward now. And I think, Danielle, you know, looking at just the past week, the State of the Union, looking at some of our predictions, as we said, the Republicans are so entrenched in their extremism. They're so beholden to MAGA that they can't get out. They're hemmed in. To the point where, like you said, Biden's like, hey, maybe we should raise the pay for teachers. They sat down. Hey, clean water, sat down. Social Security, sat down. And they're giving Democrats a gift. And speaking about Social Security, because you and I, I think the past year, have asked Democrats to just hammer Republicans on Social Security. And thankfully, they have listened in the last State of the Union, this State of the Union. But here's a gift that literally just got airdropped to the Democrats. And I have to mention it. Because you talked about how you want to just give them enough rope. Ben Shapiro, who is one of the leading right-wing voices, did a tweet. I'm going to quote him in full. It's remarkable. Quote, no one in the United States should be retiring at 65 years old. Frankly, I think retirement itself is a stupid idea unless you have some sort of a health problem. And then today, he doubled down on the concept and repeated Republican talking about that called it a Ponzi scheme, something that leading Republican senators have called it as well. Rand Paul also went after it. Donald Trump went on television, that disastrous CNBC interview from a few days ago, and said he was open to cuts in Social Security and Medicare. Danielle, these are like ads that cut themselves. Like, Joe Biden doesn't have to say anything anymore. Like, the bar was so low, he just didn't have to die. He didn't have to die. He didn't have to pass out. He had to show some anger and vigor. He had control of policies. People are like, oh, look at that. The guy that we thought was going to die didn't die. Hey, he's still alive. He could be president for the next 4 years. And now I think you could like make him like weaken at Bernie's. You could just put him away. You just put him away until the debates and just have literally have Republicans and right-wing MAGA folks just say the crazy batshit stuff out loud.
From the New Yorker staff writer Vincent Cunningham, a keenly observed novel of a young black man searching for his place in the world amidst a moment of historic change. Great Expectations is about David's 18 months working for the senator's presidential campaign. Along the way, David meets a myriad of people who raise a set of questions. Questions of history, art, race, religion, and fatherhood that forced David to look at his own life anew and come to terms with his identity as a young black man and father in America. Inspired by the author's experiences working on Obama's 2008 presidential campaign, Cunningham uses a political campaign as his narrative backbone. Great Expectations will be one of the talked about novels of the year, Colm McCann. Great Expectations is available wherever books are sold.
Spring is my favorite time to start a new workout routine. With the weather warming up, it feels easier to get into the rhythm of things. Whether you have 20 minutes or an hour for a Pilates class or outdoor guided walk, Peloton has everything you need to help you get going. Get a head start on summer with Peloton at onepeloton.com.
But it's not, I mean, but here's the thing I think that's important for folks to understand is that what they're saying is not crazy. It is doable if Donald Trump becomes president again, right? Because they have Project 2025. They
are, mentioned it.
They have 20,000 plus right-wing sycophants that they are ready to put into government agencies to gut them from the inside out.
Yep.
And these social safety nets, right? Like a Medicaid and a Medicaid. These are the things that they want to get rid of. And they will if the American people give them Donald Trump as president and a Republican Senate and a Republican House, then you can literally kiss everything that you have held dear about freedoms and rights in America goodbye.
Women's rights, right to IVF.
Right? The Medicare. Right to IVF, Medicare,
books.
You know, books, like, you know, the right to vote, anything, right? And for folks, you know, for Ben Shapiro, I mean, and here's the thing, this is when I say that I have such, you know, admiration for like the people of France that will burn their shit down when the suggestion was made to raise their retirement from 62 to 63.
Yeah, they're like, F that.
They're like, fuck that. And they lit the place on fire. Now, look, I'm not advocating for violence, but what I'm saying is when people are telling you in your face that all this time that you've been investing into Social Security and say you're in your 40s, and then they're like, yeah, so those last 20 years of you working, we're not giving you that.
Yeah.
And then you have nothing to look forward for the next 20 years. It's basically what you have saved, and that's going to be it. And so you're out on your ass.
Pull yourself up from the bootstrap, because we got to give more tax cuts to the rich. We got to take care of our base.
You're just going to see a bunch of elderly people being forced into labor because the Ben Shapiros and the Trumps of the world say, fuck you. If you're not working, you're worthless. And that's what they're saying.
And who says that? People who have never worked. People like Donald Trump. People like Ben Shapiro. People who are privileged. People who don't understand the concept of trying to save. Trying to think of a future where you're working two jobs just to stay broke. So when you're that arrogant and that dismissive and that cruel, that cruelty comes from a type of privilege which is ignorant to the lived realities of millions of Americans, Danielle, who, you know, don't ask for much. Like, this is a system. We paid into the system. Our monthly paycheck goes to Social Security. I want a little bit just to survive. And maybe if I'm lucky, I'll have just enough. I'll have just enough to pay my bills. And maybe I won't have to grind from the age of, I don't know, 65 to 85. Maybe I can taste or have an amuse-bouche of this thing called the American dream. And their cruelty is on full display. And again, just a callback to 2 weeks ago, the Alabama Supreme Court and Republicans, initially, even the moderate Nikki Haley said, this is a good idea. And once they saw the polls, they're like, oh, wait a second. Oh, no. Oh, the mortals like the IVF. Yes, we're for the IVF. And this is why I think there is a silver lining of hope, Danielle, because Ken Buck, Republican from Colorado, just yesterday said, peace out, I'm out. He's resigning. And that slim majority that white Christian fundamentalist Mike Johnson and Republicans have has even become slimmer in the House. And the fact that he's peacing out, to me, is like an animal who senses death on the horizon. Like he says, like this, without like criticizing MAGA, he's pretty much criticizing MAGA, says Congress is completely dysfunctional. So the fact that he's leaving, I think he and other Republicans are seeing that this Faustian bargain they made with Trump, the devil's coming to collect. And that Robert Hur, I know we're going to briefly talk about Robert Hur, but, you know, Robert Hur had that bombshell and he, you know, that special counsel, and he leaked that very damaging information and made assessments about Biden and his memory, this and that. Well, there was a theater just this week in the House. And Danielle, your take on the Robert Hur theater.
So let's just say this. So if folks remember, Robert Hur was appointed to look into the Biden documents issue, where there were documents that were found in his home, or that, I'm sorry, his lawyers found in his home and sent back to where the fuck they belong without having to be asked over the course of 2 years to do so.
Destroying surveillance video.
And Robert Hur was appointed a special counsel by that milquetoast waste of a man, Merrick Garland. And
tell us how you really feel about him.
Yeah, I would, but there are not enough F-bombs that I could drop. But when he provided his report, he decided to add some color to it. Mm. You know, so a little personality. Like, instead of just spraying perfume on it, like Legally Blonde, he said, let me add in my personal thoughts.
Let me drench it in partisan perfume.
Right. And so what he did was say that, oh, well, you know, there was nothing that we found here. But even if we did, we couldn't possibly try Joe Biden because, you know, he's so old and feeble and doesn't even remember when his son passed away. Mm. So, come to find out, he's a fucking liar, like the Republicans that appointed him to the Department of Justice. And he was called out and found that they held up his transcript, right, versus the report. And lo and behold, one thing did not look like the other. In the transcript, he found himself saying, wow, Joe Biden pretty much has a photographic memory. Photographic. So somehow the photographic memory piece was turned into a old and feeble and doesn't even remember, blah, 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 blah. And when he was called out by Adam Schiff, by Eric Swalwell,
Ted Lieu,
and others, he tried to act indignant, and no one was having it because he is a fucking hack.
And it's a performance. It's performance theater.
And it was a performance.
It was a performance to audition for the Trump administration and to be a loyal hack in the future of the MAGA army, because I think all these folks, Danielle, are lining up to be the next Trump. They realize this dude is old. They realize this guy might die. He might go to jail and say, all of them are lining up, right? It's like when the emperor is about to die and you mm-hmm. see the rats circling around to grab the crown. But I do feel this is, you know, I'm with you. I feel the last week I'm a little bit more optimistic, Danielle, because the more people remember how destructive, inane, reckless Trump was, the more I'm glad Jimmy Kimmel took it for the Oscars, right? Jimmy Kimmel took a minute and he said, oh, apparently we have a minute. And then he read a Trump social post that Trump did, you know, important things during all the crises that a former president decides to now, you know, mock and ridicule Jimmy Kimmel. And he did this rant against Kimmel. Later on, it was revealed that ABC didn't want Kimmel to do it, to do that bit. But Kimmel was like, whatever, I'm the host. And I think it was a good decision to just remind Americans, this is the guy going up against Biden. This is the guy that we barely survived for 4 years. And I think the more people are reminded that, Danielle, and also the more people see clips of January 6th, because Americans have the attention span of gnats on meth, no disrespect to gnats or meth, I think it's one of those things that people say, nah, I'm not really that fond of this old man, but this old guy, this old grandfather, he'll guide us through. This other guy will blow up the kitchen. And it's one of those things where we have a lot of problems to deal with, but I want to make sure that we talk about how sometimes Democrats and Republicans, the establishment, if you will, is oftentimes very incestuous. And money, ultimately, the color green is the color that trumps all other colors and seems to sway Democrats, Republicans, and independents. And it's good to be reminded of that, Danielle, that we're going up against systemic problems. And I say this because just today, as of this recording, the House passed a bill with broad bipartisan support, Danielle, that would force TikTok's Chinese owners to either sell the video app or have it banned in the United States. And this is interesting. Even though we talk about the fealty to Trump, a lot of Republicans defied Trump in supporting this, and Democrats also fell in line, and President Biden said he would sign it if it passes through the Senate. This is deeply troubling to me, because even though I'm not on TikTok yet, and even though there are security concerns, Danielle, I'm old enough to know that there's something called Meta, Facebook, which has admitted to enabling genocides, which helped to manipulate the 2016 election, which has been a forum for right-wing propaganda, anti-Semitic conspiracies, which was fined $1.3 billion for violating EU data privacy rules. And yet, all of a sudden, we're really concerned about TikTok. Why, Danielle, are we so concerned about TikTok all of a sudden?
From Foreign Policy, I'm Rina Ninen, the host of The Hidden Economics of Remarkable Women. Over the past few years, we've looked at how women around the world are changing societal norms to increase their economic power. This season, we're focusing completely on girls, how they're pushing for a brighter, more powerful future, and what the rest of us can do to set them up for success. Join us for stories about girl power, young women who are fighting for change, to give themselves a chance to live a life of their own choosing. That's season 6 of The Hidden Economics of Remarkable Women, wherever you get your podcasts.
It's weird because TikTok isn't in anybody's uterus, and it is not, you know, it's not locked and loaded with a magazine that has the capacity to kill a bunch of people. But for some reason, it poses the biggest threat to America. And the reality is that it is a bunch of bullshit, and it doesn't have anything to do with privacy, because to your point that you had made, Waj, earlier, was that, you know, if we're looking at privacy issues, then we wouldn't be still in business with China, right? Like, do we not remember the white balloons that were just, you know, stuck in our atmosphere that they sent over here? And so the issue is not privacy, because if it was, then you would go after Meta for all of the reasons that Meta should have been dismembered following 2016 and was not, right? So it's not about privacy. So then you think to yourself, well, you know, well, they're stealing information and, you know, blah, blah. What about all those face things that they're doing and they're stealing face, you know? Okay, great. So does Apple. you know, like with your iPhones. So does Samsung. So it is not that. What it is,
human rights, Danielle, right. China. Oh, yeah, the Uyghurs, my bad.
Oh, human rights, the Uyghurs. Because anybody knows or cares at all about that. They care about the fast fashion that they're making and for very, very cheap. And by very, very cheap, we mean no wages. But where the issue is that guess where young people are getting their information and sharing their information?
Morning Joe and CNN.
No, that's where Joe Biden gets his information. Everyone else is on TikTok.
120 million Americans, Dania, 120 million.
And the fact is also a lot of people have been able to make a living on TikTok, right? So TikTok has been a force of entrepreneurship as well. And so when you have these things, entrepreneurship, education, right, that is happening outside of these mainstream systems of control, then you realize that the issue is not about your safety. It is about control.
It's about control.
And that this idea that you are going to force this Chinese company to what? Sell to one of their young American spawn? Because they will. Right? Like it's all theater.
Yeah.
But at the end of it, from birth control and books to TikTok, what we are seeing is a campaign of control, little by little and bit by bit. But the selective outrage with TikTok is bullshit.
And the money, follow the money, folks. This is why we still need investigative journalists. Who are, by the way, being completely culled, and not just investigative journalists, but media institutions like we've been trying to warn about ahead of the 2024 election. If you follow the money, Meta gives to both sides of the aisle.
Yes, and they do.
AIPAC is giving a lot of money to both sides of the aisle. And speaking about those voices that can bypass the establishment that oftentimes aren't given the platform in the past 5 months with Israel's war, guess where young people have seen the images and the stories directly from Palestinians on TikTok, which explains why the youth compared to the olds in America is completely lopsided in their support for pro-Palestinian rights and the ceasefire. This is deeply threatening to those in power. And going back full circle, if we may, folks, because these are small rewards that me and Danielle get in life, I would like to tell Democrats, it will be disastrous if you do this. The teens, young people, your base will resent you. They'll remember the people who tried to ban them and their voice and their business from TikTok. And guess what? If you do ban TikTok for these reasons, something else will come in its place.
Yes, it will.
The dam has broken, but people won't forget.
You know, and I just think that it is a lesson for people to continue to be engaged and pay attention to the decisions that are being made. When people say, you know, oh, I don't pay attention to politics. Like, oh, you know, it doesn't have anything to do with me. This has everything to do with 120 million people who scroll on a regular basis, right? This has everything to do. Are we not in a free country? Not really, right? That's why we call the show Democracy-ish. Because there is a lot of ish that happens that if you're not paying attention and not outraged, they get away with.
Oh, I have to say this, Danielle, because it's breaking news. Speaking about free speech and the defenders of free speech are always the most fickle, most terrified, most authoritarian. Elon Musk and his platform X. Apparently, we found out recently that Don Lemon, who was at CNN, he had an arrangement with X, much like Tucker Carlson, to platform his next media venture. Don Lemon apparently sat down with Elon Musk. Apparently they didn't vibe, folks. He gave him a few tough questions. And lo and behold, Danielle, the person who mocks and ridicules the wokeness and the youth who want their safe space and who demands free speech in a marketplace of ideas, guess what happened? Just guess. I don't know if you've seen the stories. Guess what happened with this venture between him and Don Lemon?
Oh, he pulled it. He pulled it.
It's exquisite. It's just so beautiful. Yeah.
But Don Lemon's still going to air the interview.
Oh, I love it.
I don't know where, But he says, you know, I'm still launching my new show with it.
YouTube. He might go on YouTube.
So I think that that is brilliant. And also, just quickly before we wrap, Elon Musk is now being investigated by the SEC. That news just broke.
Oh, really?
Broke as
I didn't
well.
See that.
Yes, it literally just broke.
Why? What are they saying?
Fraud, you know, tax fraud and evasion. $122 billion. You don't make that, you know, out of good faith and blood, sweat, and tears.
But he's a genius, Danielle.
He's a genius because he's evaded his taxes. And America lets him do it. Oh, dear God. That is it for us today on Democracy-ish. I am Danielle Moody.
I am a fasting Wajahatali.
We will be back next week if, in fact, we have a country left. Inshallah.